we've wowed ourselves enough with our beautiful voices. So now it's our chance to be treated. Treated to the thoughts as this young lady carries in her life. And I'm just sitting here beaming and looking at her family, sitting in the front row with her. You can tell they just love each other so much. Is that what a treat for me to sit here and look at them. Huh? And then whenever I say that, oh, Jody's going to talk, oh, I love her. I'm sick of hearing it, so don't say that to me anymore, anybody. I don't think I heard anybody agree with me. All they did was laugh. Everybody loves this young lady, and she's just so sincere, so sweet, and filled with love, and I always like to hear her thoughts, and this is our Jody.
Hey, everybody. Yay! We got a few more people in. Yay! Thank you for coming out tonight. I'm privileged that you guys are going to sit there and listen to me. And if a couple of you get up and walk out, that's okay, because I'm sure one or two of you will stay. So, yeah. Okay. I was trying to figure out, well, I was thinking about what I was going to talk about. And I thought, well, maybe I couldn't think of anything, or it wasn't clear, you know. I thought, well, maybe I really love the 23rd Psalm. So I had a talk about the 23rd Psalm, and so that was going to be my backup plan. But then last night, it all just kind of came together, and I sat down and wrote out as much as I could. So I'm going old school today. And so I hope that I can get across what I wanted to say. So we'll see what happens. I just hope, I really think that a lot of these thoughts just are God using us. You know, it's like when you hear Millie say something, and then you hear the same thing from a different source that you know they didn't know each other, and you know they didn't read the same books, mostly because Millie reads the one book, you know. And so I think it's really interesting, the strings of truth that come out. So I think God uses all of us. That's why I like that teach only love. I think God uses all of us to kind of get that message across, even painting the picture in different ways for different people. So Kimberly last week talked about tithing, and I thought it was interesting that my talk kind of is about tithing, one of the ways of tithing, you know, because it's about kind of giving, you know. I wanted to talk about faith. But I realized today that faith isn't something you get, because people always talk about how do I have faith? Something you're supposed to have, or something you're supposed to have gotten or get at some point. And what is it, and how do you get it, you know? And so many people talk, I don't know how I'm supposed to have faith. How do I have faith? How did you get faith? You know, and it's like this possession that we're supposed to have. And I realized today that it's a verb. It's an act. It's having faith is actually doing something. That kind of was cool to have that realization. You know, it's not a thing, it's an action. And so having faith is a way to tithe. And faith, I think, is the same thing as hope, which is the same thing as love, you know. And there's that almost a triangle: faith, hope, and love, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know. And some more triangles that come into play too, which I think is really interesting too. So for really, it could be, the talk could be about faith, the talk could be about hope, the talk could be about love. And the list that I want to share with you at the end was a list of how to have faith, but it could be how to give others hope or how to give yourself hope. I mean, you could name it 100 different things. It's the action of it. You know, how are we supposed to have faith, or why would we have faith? Having a faith is a way to tithe. Why is that? Because we demonstrate faith in our God work and in our day-to-day actions. But before I tell you guys what the list is of stuff, you know, because I'm sure you guys, we could add to the list. We can come up with 150, 200, 250 things. I wanted to talk about some of the lessons that Millie has given us in class and how it kind of, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about talking about was a life review, you know, like Millie talks about doing a life review and looking back and seeing what your life is and what your patterns were and kind of get the overall theme. And so I wanted to do that, and it kind of turned into more about almost how I ended up knowing a little bit about what faith was. But it was a process of learning some of the stuff and then testing it out. So four things that I came up with. Earth school. Number two, you pick your life. Number three, God timing. And number four, God shelf. So those are four things that are worthy of mention before I give you this list. I think it's really interesting. I've been on earth as it is in heaven. I've been thinking about that a lot, because now tie that into Millie saying the same thing that somebody else says over here, that somebody else says over there, and everybody's kind of speaking the same wisdom, and where's that wisdom coming from but from God? And so all these ideas that we've had down here, that we've set everything up the way that is set up on earth as it is in heaven. So wouldn't we just have to look around at how we're operating to kind of get an idea of how it operates when you're in a light body, call it heaven, whatever you want to call it. But I've always looked at it as a school, and Millie will talk about that, that it's earth school. And you can't learn everything there is to learn in kindergarten. That's why they're second grade, third grade, fourth grade. So why wouldn't we think that about lifetimes? I mean, Millie will point out a lot of different places in the Bible about reincarnation. My favorite one, and I got distracted and didn't find it, was the one where he says, don't you know who he is? Talking about John the Baptist, right? And it was, he's Elijah. So right then, Jesus is saying, don't you see? That's Elijah. So I thought that was really interesting. So I have like something that I did find about reincarnation in Corinthians 15:35. How will the dead be brought back to life again? What kind of bodies will they have? And they say, what a foolish question. You'll find the answer in your own garden. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And when the green shoot comes up out of the seed, it is very different from when the shoot comes out of the seed, it is very different from the seed you first planted. For you put into the ground is a dry little seed of wheat or whatever it is that you're planting. Then God gives it a beautiful new body, just the kind he wants it to have. A different kind of plant grows from each kind of seed. And just there are different kinds of seeds and plants, so also are there different kinds of flesh. Humans, animals, fish, and birds are all different. The angels in heaven have bodies different from ours, and the beauty and the glory of their bodies is different from the beauty and the glory of ours. I just thought that was interesting, kind of talking about different bodies that we can have. So I think that it kind of unfolded for me about being like a college course, you know. So let's say you're going to choose a lifetime, like you're choosing a college course, and you open up that course catalog and you read the summary of the class, and you're like, okay, well, I know it's a requirement for my AA or my BA, and here's all the classes I can take. Ooh, that one looks the most interesting. We don't know what the curriculum really is going to be. You don't know what the tests are. You don't know when there's going to be quizzes. And I think sometimes that's kind of how we pick our lives, you know. We have things that we want to learn towards whatever goal our soul's growth wants to have. And then we're picking these lifetimes to learn those lessons. So on earth as it is in heaven. And then the other interesting part is, so then God gives us all these tools, right? Jesus tells us, love each other, and then all the other commandments will fall into place. And so the same thing happens in school. Your teacher gives you the syllabus when you start the class, and now you know, at least I know, because I take online classes, when my tests are going to be, and I know what my material is for the whole time. So I know what the points are that are required for me to pass the course with an A, B, C, D, or F, or a fail, you know, or I could withdraw. And isn't it interesting that, like that with life? Because I think we have an idea of what it would take to get the A or the B or the C or the D, and it really is kind of now going to depend on what you're willing to put into the class when you're here or when you're at the college. So I just thought that was interesting, the likeness that I betcha when we get up there it's going to be like that. All right, that was number one, or school. Number two, you pick your life. How many have heard that Millie say that one? You pick your parents, and then it kind of turns it into you picked your life. And what I say to that is trust you and God, because you're a great team. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. And this kind of started to lead me into the faith part of it, because I started to realize, okay, well, if I'm where I'm supposed to be, then everybody else is where they're supposed to be, and they all picked what they were going to be doing, you know. And so here comes another triangle now. So I had so my class was in psychology, so they talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and look at the triangle. It's kind of interesting. And so some of the things, like, so first you need to meet your physiological needs: food, water, warmth, rest. Then safety needs, security and safety. And then you can start to tackle belongingness and love needs, intimate relationships and friends. And then esteem needs, prestige and feeling of accomplishment. And then apparently self-actualization only happens to 2% of the population, including people like Albert Einstein and Abe Lincoln, according to Maslow, were self-actualized, which is achieving one's full potential, including creative activities. So I thought it was interesting that, like, if you think about lifetimes that you pick, or classes that you could pick in college, like, think about all the different people that you know who are on different levels of this hierarchy. You know, some people, little kids with the distended stomachs in Africa, I'm pretty sure they're working on physiological, you know, and they've chosen that life. If we believe what we're being told in the Bible, and if you can prove to yourself that what Millie is saying has some truth in it, then wouldn't it be that each one of these people had picked that college course? And in which case, you can kind of release yourself of some of that pain and that hurt. So I think we tend to walk around feeling all the pain of the world, and you get up in the morning, you think, oh, how can I get up? There's so many people suffering. You know, what am I going to do about the kids in Africa? And what am I going to do about the dogs in the pound? And, you know, I mean, there's just so much suffering and so much pain. And people are killed and people are treated badly. And some of us have been treated badly through our life, or maybe as a kid, or maybe even now. So I think it's kind of interesting that if we can kind of hold on to a little bit of the, okay, we've picked this people, maybe it might just be easier to, you know, go on with life and not feel that despair that I think a lot of us are dealing with, especially in the world today. We're bombarded with information, and a lot of it's negative. But so we're learning what our soul is here to learn. And always a favorite is Romans 5:3, because our lessons include the hard times. And so this is Romans 5:3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. So now your life starts to realize, oh, all these things that maybe I'm even still beating myself up about are all part of this process of God making, you know, helping me develop what is faith, and helping me be wiser and learn the lessons that I came here to learn. If I wasn't having difficult times, what am I here for? You know, if I'm not stretching my comfort zone or go ahead and, you know, maybe even just accepting that I have these challenges and then working within those challenges, knowing that we can rejoice because in this challenge we're going to grow and we're going to learn and we're going to develop that faith. Because once we get to the other side of it, we're going to realize, hey, I did it. We don't know what each other's life lessons are. So we have to trust the other soul and God that they've got it covered. So I already talked about that too. It is easy to feel all the pain of the world. So release others to their own path and release them in prayer. Continue guard work with a strong and healthy heart and mind. So, you know, when you can get up in the morning, you think, okay, God, I know that there's a plan in all this, so I'm just going to trust you, and I'm going to do my best I can today, and I'm going to work for you. Millie always, I came in one day, the world, and what am I going to do? And she said, honey, you just start in your own backyard. And sometimes our own backyard, sometimes it's just right in here, you know, and fixing the thinking and the thought process that we have. Let's see, number three, God's time. Trust God's timing because it's also your timing. If you're in on this, which apparently we are, right? Because we picked it. So now we've picked it, and now we're in on the timing game too. Let's see. That's a lesson that you'll learn if you stick around long enough. That's the okay. It's harder to work with because this one is all about faith. God time. It's like really. What does that mean? What am I supposed to do with that? And, ooh, here comes another triangle. Woo-hoo. It's the triangle of manifestation. So time, space, energy equals manifestation. So God's timing is the right time, the right space, and the right energy. So, you know, maybe even if we're just waiting for God's time, we could be thinking about, okay, it is going to be the right time and the right place and the right vibration. And when those align, that's God's time. So apply that to the earth school, and you pick your life, then there's God kind of coming in with the God timing. And then what kind of goes with that is the God shelf. Because while you're waiting for God timing, you can put it up on the God shelf. Because you don't have, I don't know how long it's going to be. I also called it the golden scissors of detachment, where I cut the cord. You know, and the cord grows back and you have to keep cutting it, you know, a healthy thing. There's a healthy level of detachment there, you know, because that's a God shelf. I'm letting it go in whatever way I can. And they're golden scissors. So, you know, they're from heaven. Let's see. So all the things we can't control, all the people we can't control, all the situations we can't control. The God shelf is kind of a form of prayer. So you use the God shelf to get past your own tough times, your own challenges that you might have with others. You put it on the God shelf. You trust God. You trust the plan. You trust that there's a purpose in it. You trust God's timing. And now you're asking for help because you're putting it up on the God shelf. And you're saying, okay, I'm not going to worry about this. And Millie says, if you have a headache, find somebody with a headache and pray for them. Because you take the focus off yourself, and then God can work miracles for you, and your headache will go away. So I think part of that whole process is kind of taking the focus off yourself for the God shelf to work, and maybe even just taking the focus off whatever it is that you're worried about. So if you're going to put somebody on the God shelf, then you might not want to focus on them because it's almost like we're putting boundaries around God's miracles, and it's harder for him to work when we're watching the whole time, you know. So focus on opportunities to serve others, to take the focus off yourself. Pray soulfully without deciding what others need. Because remember, you got to trust them and trust God because they've got it covered. Trust you, trust God, they've got it covered. So how many of us have finding ourselves, oh, dear Lord, please let her realize that she's wrong. Please let her come apologize to me because she's wrong, you know. So now we're deciding now what you know, what God's will is. I think it's hilarious. And we're so, it's so human. We all do it. So Corner of the World has a really good prayer, and I didn't print it out, but I do have Romans 8:26. And in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and our praying, for we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. So God knows what's in your heart, and I'm pretty sure Helene talked about that on Sunday. Who was here on Sunday to hear Helene talk? God knows what's in your heart. It's your intention. So maybe even praying is just having an emotion of loving somebody, you know. So the Corner of the World prayer is something like, you know, God, I can't change your will, but, you know, send love and healing to this person in their area of need. That way, let God cover it, and then we're not trying to, again, control things and make it our time or our space or that kind of thing. So let's see. Did I tell you all the nuggets that I had? Let me see. Here's another prayer one. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. So, you know, there's the tools for the toolbox of kind of, all right, now we've walked through some of the steps that Millie took me through of how I discovered kind of that, okay, how I felt faith. And I can't say I had it at any certain point, but just you get to a point where you go, oh, I get it. So here's the list. Ask God to use you. Love God with all your heart. Love yourself with all your heart. Love others with all your heart. Give love away freely without obligation. Encourage someone. Give yourself time, space, and energy to grow. Feel Christ energy. Share with others, money, food, experiences. Pray for others. Trust God. Ask for miracles and get ready to receive. Touch people's lives. Comfort those in need. And be grateful and thank God for using you. So, that's it.